Welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I have my very special guest, Nathan Hale from Nathan Hale Classics, and we'll be discussing Mr. Smith Goes to Washington from 1939. So before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself, Nathan, and talk a little bit about your channel?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again, Harrison. Really excited to be here on the show again, but excited to talk about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington as well. As far as my channel goes, I love talking about classic Hollywood, classic movies in general, classic TV shows, really just movies that your grandma and grandpa like to talk about. Those are the ones that I love discussing on my channel. So if you're into the black and white era of films, then I highly recommend paying my channel a visit.
Heck yeah. And I highly recommend it as well, guys. He's got some great content, especially when he talks about individual actors and directors. It's really, really cool. And I'll have links to all of that in the description below. And so let's go ahead and get started then and talk about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And so before we talk about our thoughts on it, kind of what are your like initial feelings and thoughts about this film and kind of what it means to you?
Yeah, so for me, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is one of those movies that it gets better on each rewatch for me. I appreciate it more each time, and it's something that I think is an important film for its time, but also even today, because it really establishes what America is, what America should be. And we have a great character in Jefferson Smith, and I don't want to say everything, but I will just say right now that it's my favorite underdog story of all time. So kind of high praise coming from me in my corner, but I'm a big fan of this one and very excited to dive deeper into it.
Awesome. Well, I know I got the right man for the job. You love James Stewart and Frank Capra and all that. So
absolutely. Yeah.
I'm really excited for that. And I actually have some behind the scenes details. You may or may not already know these, but some that I thought were really, really interesting. So in 1942, there was a ban of American films imposed in France because it was occupied by Germany. And before the theaters were closed, the French theater owners would play this movie every single day, all day long.
Oh, really?
To kind of protest the Germans taking
wow.
over. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was incredible because this is a, you know, kind of standing up to corruption. So I thought that was perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then another detail. So the story that this movie is based on is called The Gentleman from Montana. But in this movie, they make a point to not tell any of the political parties, not say any of the states, so that we could kind of apply it ourselves to whatever our opinions are. I thought that was really, really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely very aware of the audience, and I like that.
Yeah, and so, like, anyone could apply it in any way they want to, and yeah, I really like that they did that. I think that kind of adds to the timelessness of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so since you're our guest, we'll have you go first. What are your thoughts on a scale 1 to 5 on the plot?
So I touched on this with my initial review of it being my favorite underdog tale. And it has to, I mean, that's saying a lot because there are so many great underdog stories out there. A lot of people think of underdog stories, I think, as sports movies. I think Rocky is kind of like the ultimate example.
Definitely.
And Rocky's great. I love Rocky too. But for Mr. Smith, I think what I really like about this one in particular is you have Mr. Smith. He's just been nominated to represent his state in the Senate. And, you know, that could be your movie right there. The movie could be that he's just nominated and he's getting to know Washington, getting to know the ropes of being a senator. But it's so much more than that. It's, oh, there's this corrupt plot that no one is supposed to know about, but Mr. Smith knows about. And they think he's going to be just this pushover senator that won't worry them or anything. And so he's the perfect guy for the job because he won't ruin their plans. But they have another thing coming because he has beliefs. He has a foundation. He doesn't want to go against that. And that's where we get our movie of the underdog, him, this small man against an entire government of power. And that to me is just a very strong plot. I love movies or stories of rebellion. I don't think this one is necessarily a rebellion, but in a way it is, in the sense that he's disagreeing with the big power. And I like movies like that, where a small voice can make a big impact against the powerful big voice. And so for me, the plot is an easy 5 out of 5. It's one that anytime I watch it, I notice new things or I appreciate more things. I'll say one more thing. I really love this particular scene when, let me back up a little bit. I love how in this movie, Frank Capra, he doesn't only focus on Mr. Smith going to Washington, getting used to the politics and getting used to the job and everything. He makes sure that we understand who Mr. Smith as a character is. And he does this so perfectly through his initial visit to DC, when he kind of strays away from his party and just takes a tour, a self-guided tour of Washington, DC. That right there, we see how Mr. Smith is and how much he cares about this new role. And we get a feel for who he's going to be. But the scene I want to talk about specifically, it's one that really stands out to me. It's when he visits the Lincoln Memorial and he comes across, it looks like a grandpa and his grandson reading the Gettysburg Address. And there's a point where the grandson, he reads something about freedom, how we will have freedom. And right when he says freedom, it cuts to an African-American man who like walks onto the scene and is listening. And I think it's such a cool moment where he says freedom at the same time as the African-American man listening in on the conversation. And it's showing that equality is for all, freedom is for everyone, no matter your race. And I think that is such a neat thing. And that just proves right there that 1939, this movie is, I mean, it's getting close to 100 years, but it still has a powerful message today. So easy 5 out of 5 for me when it comes to the plot.
That's awesome. No, I totally agree with everything you said. I also gave it a 5 out of 5. It was a wonderful, wonderful plot. And I just think it took a lot of guts for them to even make this movie, because, you know, at this time, America wasn't as critical of the government as kind of we are now. So this is kind of really, really a gutsy move to make a movie like this. And and I also love that we see the character arc of Jefferson Smith, and he develops over the course of the film. You know, he's kind of doe-eyed, kind of innocent at the beginning, to then fighting for the truth to clear his name at the end of the movie. Just seeing that kind of change, and just, and I'll kind of save a little bit of that for acting, but just how great of a character and interesting characters they were too. I mean, you know, this is the Frank Capra thing, really interesting characters you want to root for. So yeah, easy 5 for me as well.
Awesome. Same page. So far, so good.
Yep. All right. So then what are your thoughts on the acting?
Yeah, so the acting for me, I mean, this is James Stewart's movie, obviously. He gives an incredible performance. That's not to say that everyone else doesn't, because everyone is great, but I just think that James Stewart is the easy highlight, the spotlight of the film. But with him, he actually was nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role at the Oscars, and he lost to, I haven't seen the movie. Have you seen Goodbye, Mr. Chips, I think it's called?
No, I haven't, but it's on my list.
Yeah, it's on my list as well. But the main actor from that movie won that year. And that was a stacked year to begin with. It was James Stewart. You also had Clark Gable from Gone with the Wind. Oh, and I know there's someone else that I'll remember later. But anyways, it was a stacked year. But I think that James Stewart, I mean, haven't seen Goodbye, Mr. Chips yet. So once I see that, I'll have a fair opinion. But I just can't see that performance moving me more than James Stewart does here. And he's great the whole movie, but once we get to the filibuster, he really shows his talent, especially. He's so good at bringing the audience in to care for his stance on the boys' camp that he wants to start. And there's just something about hearing his voice when it goes like kind of raspy and he's on his last breath type thing. It's so good. And I think you already know this, but he won the Oscar a year later for Philadelphia Story. And a lot of people are kind of convinced that it was kind of the Academy saying, oh, oops, we should have awarded you for Mr. Smith. This is us apologizing, because He does great in Philadelphia Story, but it's not even close to what he does in Mr. Smith. So that's all. I just spoke forever, and that was just on James Stewart. I will say also, Jean Arthur does a great job. She's really great at starting out, like, James or Jefferson Smith, his character arc, like you said, I love what you said about him kind of starting off with deer in the headlights, but then really having a lot of character development. I think the same goes for Clarissa, Jean Arthur's character. She starts off as kind of this, I hate the government, I'm just doing this to get my paycheck, kind of snarky girl. And as the movie progresses, she realizes, like, life is good. Need to appreciate the little things. Are we spoiling the movie?
That's fine.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll just say she realizes she falls in love with life more, and there's a lot of character progression there. And I think Jean Arthur does a great job there. Claude Rains is amazing at playing the conflicted character, where he knows what he's doing is wrong, and he has an especial high stake in the matter because he was friends with Jefferson's father. So it makes it even worse, and his guilt is even bigger because of that. But I think he does a great job too. And then one last performance I want to highlight. I think everyone does great, but I love Harry Carey, I think his name is, the president of the Senate. He has a very low-key performance. It was nominated for a supporting Oscar, crazy enough, but I love how low-key he is. Like, he's kind of just there, but anytime he's there, just does a good job. And you know, the whole time he's like low key rooting for Jefferson. You can just tell. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the movie. Like, the movie would be completely different if the president was against Jefferson. And I think it really works. The movie works even better because he gives him a chance. He kind of believes in that small voice to be heard. So really love that. But thought everyone in the movie is incredible too.
Awesome.
And I give it a 5 out of 5. Sorry.
Okay, awesome. No, yeah, you're good.
5 out of 5, easy.
All right. And I have to agree once again. I also gave it a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
A lot of things you said I agree with. I'll just add, I really love that they set up how Claude Rains and James Stewart, you know, they're friends at the beginning. You could believe that. And just the utter betrayal that Claude Rains brings later on really adds to the agony of it. It's like, oh, it kind of breaks your heart.
And, yeah, totally.
And I don't think a lesser actor would have been able to do that convincingly other than James Stewart or Claude Rains. I think they were perfect in their respective roles. And then...
completely agreed.
And then Filibuster, man. That scene was fantastic. Oh. James Stewart, man.
So it especially hits home for me. The people who have visited my channel, they'll know this if they watched. I have a whole video on why I love Mr. Smith, but I mentioned this in the video, so sorry if it's this repeat for anyone. But that scene means especially a lot to me because in high school, we had to take a fine arts class to graduate. And so it was between theater and ceramics. So I went with theater, and part of the class, you had to do a monologue from a movie. And as I was studying all the monologues, that was right when I was kind of getting in this phase of, who's this James Stewart guy? Like, I had recently seen Wonderful Life, recently watched like Rope, Rear Window, Vertigo, and saw Mr. Smith. And it was actually amongst like the greatest monologues of all time, this Filibuster. And there's a particular scene where he starts, and I didn't do the whole Filibuster because that would have lasted a long time in the class, but I did it, and I did a section of it. And so the movie means especially a lot to me. Whenever I see that scene, I always think about doing that monologue in front of the class, everyone watching and being graded for my delivery of the performance. And it was just so special. I remember there's that scene where he does that whistle to get everyone's attention. And I don't know how to do that whistle. So in the monologue, I just screamed. I was like, hey, like, I didn't know what to do. So I just replaced it with screaming into the audience. But it worked out well. But what I'm saying is it especially hits deep because of practicing that, memorizing that, and kind of becoming Jefferson Smith for that one assignment. So anyways, just had to throw that in there. I didn't know what other category to throw that in. So I'm just going to throw it in now.
Yeah. No, that's great. Did you have like a tie and everything all ruffled?
I didn't. No, I didn't get, I wasn't that committed. I will say I had an audition for that same year. I was in a Cinderella play. And in my audition for that, I sang Singing in the Rain. And I brought an umbrella to the audition. And I had like a suit on, something like that. I can't remember. But I know that I had an umbrella because I wanted to like stand out or whatever. I don't know. So I did do that. But for the Mr. Smith one, I was just wearing my normal clothes at school. Probably would have helped, though, to be a little bit more ruffled, to make my voice raspy and mess up my hair and everything. I should have done that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really cool, though, because, yeah, that really is a great monologue he does there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's move on to directing. What are your thoughts on the directing?
So it should come as no surprise. It's a 5 out of 5 for me. Frank Capra is one of my favorite directors of all time. I think that he, like a lot of people call Alfred Hitchcock the master of suspense, I think Frank Capra is the master of happy endings, or happily ever afters, whatever you want to say, or master of feel-good movies, let's say that. I think he's really good at making those movies that you watch them, and by the end of them, you have a big smile on your face, and you feel uplifted. And he doesn't go wrong here. This is not the exception or anything. He's great at what he does here. I love how you're watching the movie. You're so invested with the character and with the story. And by the time it ends, you're just so happy and fulfilled. I will say, I think the ending is a little abrupt. And I've always kind of felt that way. I think it ends a little abruptly. But at the same time, I think this is a petty complaint, but I think part of me wants to see Mr. Smith return home and everyone be clapping for him. Kind of like a Wonderful Life ending.
Right, right.
Kind of like that Wonderful Life ending where just everyone welcomes him home because everyone loves him. Everyone's so proud of him. And I think the like optimist inside me and the Wonderful Life fanatic inside me wants that ending. But at the same time, I think it's almost good that it ends abruptly because it doesn't dwell on him. It doesn't dwell too much on it. It kind of just moves on. It accomplished what it was there to do and it moves on. But it would be interesting if we found out there's an extended cut, 15 minutes longer, him coming home, what happened to Claude Rains. I don't know. Everything's tied up perfectly, but there's like a part of me that would love an additional ending. Anyways, with that being said, I still give it a 5 out of 5 because I think what Frank Capra does, especially with the story, and getting us to feel not only for Jefferson Smith's character, but also for America. And I've called this movie before a love letter to America, for really kind of sealing it as that love letter to America. It deserves nothing less than a 5.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And once again, I agree. I also gave it a 5 out of 5.
Sick.
Yeah. No, to me, Frank Capra, I think, is the only director in the world who can make a Senate hearing super dramatic and interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen C-SPAN, but it's
there's a reason, though.
Right? It's definitely not the most interesting thing in the world. So
yeah,
the fact he was able to do that to make you want to root for Jefferson and all that, definitely the performances, but also the way Frank Capra set it up and had it all put together, right? He did a fantastic job with that. And I was mentioning earlier, you know, his trademark is all over this with the underdog characters and a lot of the same actors he uses in his other movies.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah, it's got him all over it. It's probably, I don't know if it's my favorite one by him. It probably will be at some point, but
nice.
I really, really liked what he did with this film. Yeah. And like I said earlier, it's timeless. Like the way he had it all put together, is timeless. It could be applicable to any time in U.S. history. So yeah, that's why I gave it a 5 out of 5. He blew it out of the park, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right. What are your thoughts on the cinematography / special effects?
So I don't think I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 just because I have to, but I think it's because of for what kind of movie it is. Like you have to give it that rating, keeping in mind we're comparing this to other black and white movies of the time kind of thing. Like, obviously, if you compare Mr. Smith to like something like 1917, the cinematography is completely different.
Right.
But I think for what it's going for, it doesn't do anything wrong. And so it doesn't necessarily need to stand out to get that 5 out of 5, but it is good at doing nothing wrong. Like, I think that everything that they show, especially the montage of him visiting DC, and then also the montage of him punching the reporters when he sees that article. One of the best scenes of all time, honestly.
Yes.
But that montage, the way they film the montages throughout the film, the montage of the children rooting for Jefferson Smith and going around their city, hanging up signs and throwing out newspapers that the government's corrupt. It's really good at accomplishing the montages that they have. And then when it comes to the cinematography of other scenes, I just don't think it does anything wrong. And so for that, I can't like rate it lower or anything. I also love that it's black and white, but I don't think that's so much an option for the movie. I think that was more so the a product of its time. I mean, we saw Wizard of Oz get a colored film that same year, but I think Mr. Smith works black and white. I can't imagine it otherwise. Obviously Gone with the Wind was color too, but I think the black and white cinematography works great, and it's mostly a 5 out of 5 just off the merit that it doesn't do anything wrong, really.
Nice. All right, well, I also gave it a 5 out of 5.
Nice. That's awesome.
The scene that you mentioned earlier was actually one I wanted to point out as well, just the beautiful imagery that they have in scenes like the grandpa and the grandson reading the Gettysburg Address, and just the beautiful imagery with that is fantastic. Like, a lot of show don't tell. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I love all the montages that they do in this movie, especially that one. That's probably my favorite one.
The love, that's like the one that screams love letter to America, where it's literally just, it takes a break from the plot and you just get a history lesson. Like, you see all these statues, you see the signatures of our founding fathers, the Lincoln Memorial, all the memorials. It's just such a cool little break from the movie. Like, I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, like, didn't expect that, but I'm glad it happened. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome for me too. Yeah. I just thought that was really creative, and we could attribute that once again to Frank Capra, but you know, like in It's a Wonderful Life too, they had great montages and
absolutely, yeah,
things like that. Even in Arsenic and Old Lace, like the baseball scene at the beginning, like there's a
lot
of
true. Yeah, that's true. Very true.
I'm a huge fan of montage in general, so just seeing how creative they were with it really, really resonated well with me. Yeah. And then also the more dramatic scenes and angles they did in the Senate chamber to kind of make Jimmy Stewart look small, all the other guys look bigger. It was really, really cool. And just all around really creative. And if we think about it, there's only, 2-3 set pieces the whole movie?
Yeah, Like,
they did so much with so little. I was really impressed with that.
And that also, you know what, you brought up a really good point. You saying making Jimmy Stewart look so small in the big Senate room. I'm also thinking of when he first visits Lincoln Memorial, it zooms out to where you're looking down on him and he's just a small ant visiting the giant memorial. And that's also, in a way, his introduction to the government. He's just one person being entered into this giant government. And that's another scene that really sends the message across, because they could have left that out. They could have just had him walking and we're on his eye level in the Lincoln Memorial, but that zoomed out shot really shows Lincoln, but also gives us the idea of like him walking into almost the lion's den, in a sense, for the government, not for Lincoln. He's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you also bring a good point with the lion's den thing. Like, when we first get into the Senate chamber, there's just lots of chattering going on and craziness, almost like a zoo.
Yeah, look at us discovering new things about the movie. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. But anyways, I also give it a 5 out of 5. Probably one of the best, especially from Frank Capra.
Yeah.
All right. So what are your thoughts on the music?
So I'm going to go with a 1 out of 5. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going with a 5 out of 5 again. Just like everything's great with the music. No, I'm going with a 5 out of 5 again. And it's kind of the same reason for cinematography, where I think if you were to compare, like, one of my favorite scores of all time is Interstellar. And if I put Mr. Smith next to Interstellar, there's no competition. I like Interstellar more, but it's, again, for what Mr. Smith is and for the time it came out and for what it's accomplishing with the music it uses, I think it does a great job. We keep talking about the montage scene with the DC tour, but that right there, that's one of the best uses of music in the whole movie, I think, because you hear those patriotic songs and the music, the score, as it's showing these different moments in history. And I think it works really well. Another scene that I think works really well, it's also all the montages. I'll just say that all the montages work really well. The music that goes to them, because I know that when the kids are running around town trying to spread that Jefferson is a good guy, I want to say it does like it does that little tune, does something like that. Like, it just has very applicable music for what scenes they're trying to accomplish. And so for that, I think it does a really good job in each montage. Let me make sure I'm missing anything. Oh, and then also love the goofy music it's playing while he's punching all the politicians or all the journalists that lied about him. I love that too. So I think it does a great job for what it, for what it's going for. It's a perfect 5 out of 5.
Nice. Well, another 5 out of 5. I can't disagree, man.
Yes.
Everything you said. I mean, I just love how unabashedly patriotic it can get.
Yeah.
But it's not like in your face, though. It's a little more subtle.
Yeah. And
I love the use of a lot of the patriotic music, especially like when we see the Statue of Lincoln. Pretty sure we hear the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And
Yes, yes.
I'm pretty sure, right? And and even at the end when Smith's getting nominated, there's like some really good music too. I can't remember if it's patriotic or not, but like
I want to say they have like My Country Tis of Thee at some point too. I might be wrong on that, but I want to say they had patriotic music. I want to say that's one of them, but I think you're definitely right about Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah. And then, but then also too, in that scene when the kids were trying to pass out the newspapers,
yeah,
it's like sad and scary music too. Like,
yes,
they really figured out, or not figured out, but they really use good music for specific scenes and the specific tones. And I really, really like that.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah. And then there's only one critique I have of it, but I'm not going to dock points. Was it just me, or were they playing New Year's music when we first see him in the Senate? Not the Senate chamber, but like the governor announcing him? Yeah,
they play the Auld Lang Syne, right?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, hey, wait a second.
I think Frank Capra just has to fit that into all his movies.
Yeah.
Like, he has so many movies. I actually made a list once on Letterboxd called Movies Directed by Frank Capra, where a character's being celebrated and everyone starts singing Auld Lang Syne. And it was This Wonderful Life. And then I want to say Mr. Deeds Goes to Town has a scene like that. And then I just saw Pocketful of Miracles. It's Frank Capra's last movie. I saw it this last Christmas. And they sing Auld Lang Syne in it. I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, I'm not complaining because I love the song. I think it works so well. But yeah, that it's definitely in this one as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, is this a new, this is the New Year's song.
Wait a second. That doesn't add up.
Yeah. Cause I was like, wait a minute. Are they celebrating Christmas right now? Like, I don't understand why this is playing.
That's so funny.
But I'm not going to dock points for that. It's a very minor thing, but
sure. Of course.
But anyways, I like the use of patriotic music and you did too. So
absolutely. Yeah.
I already know what your answer is, but what's your final Letterboxd score?
5 out of 5. Easy 5 out of 5. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's in my top 10 of all time. And it's one that I revisit and all the emotions come back and I'm just so invested in it. It's the easiest 5 out of 5 to give for me. You know, there's some movies where it's like you have to sit on it like 9 or 4.5, 5, 4, 5. Like, what am I... This is just a no-brainer for me. It's an easy 5 out of 5 because it still stands the test of time. And it's not only one of the best Frank Capra films, it's one of the best Jimmy Stewart films. In fact, for both of those people, it's my second favorite Jimmy Stewart, second favorite Frank Capra, only because Wonderful Life is my first for both of them. So it's makes my sense. Second for both. Yeah. It's my favorite movie of all time. Come on, cut me some slack.
Yep.
But I love Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. So yeah, easy 5 out of 5. And I know you gave the same, so please explain yourself now.
Yes, I gave it a 2 out of 5. No.
No.
No, it's also 5 out of 5. I mean, I 100% recommend this movie. you know, like I've been saying the whole time, it is so relevant today.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible to me that they made a movie like this in that era, like I mentioned, when you didn't question anything. So just how gutsy they were with that. And honestly, I think we need someone like Jefferson Smith. That'd be awesome to have someone like that in Congress.
Yeah, amen, amen.
So, yeah, I highly recommend it as well. And I just love how it shows off, you know, Jimmy Stewart's acting chops and his dramatic chops, especially.
Yes, totally.
And this is pre-Wonderful Life, you know, and before his service of World War II. So, like, this is him just being an actor, not being a traumatized soldier.
I know, it's so true, but it really does prove that, like, he's always been great, you know, like, before, after war, take him at any time of his career, and he does a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, those are pretty much my thoughts. Anything you want to add before we close today?
I think I've pretty much said everything, too. If there's anything I missed, just watch my 11 out of 10 video on my channel from I think it was like 2 years ago, a year ago, something like that. But it's pretty much everything I said here. So actually probably just save your time and stick with this one.
All right. Well, those are our thoughts on Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Thank you so much, Nathan, for coming on. And before we go, why don't you promote your channel a little bit where people could follow you?
Yeah, of course. Thank you again for having me on. It's been a great time. So my YouTube channel, it's called Nathan Hale Classics. You can find me there. As far as Letterboxd, I'm Cinema Nate. So it's like, if you look up Nathan Hale Classics, you should be able to find it too, or just Nathan Hale. But I think my official username is Cinema Nate, something like that. And then Instagram as well. I have an account, Cinema Nate, there. And that's a fun one because that kind of takes a break from formal YouTube videos and is more relaxed talk of movies. So I'll sometimes have polls there, tournaments where the followers can vote for things, or I'm just updating people on like recent purchases I had. I also do a monthly recap of like my favorite movies I watched in the month, favorite TV shows, just funny things that happen, updates in my life related to movies, things like that. And so if you want to join the community, please come on over, Cinema Nate or Nathan Hale Classics.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And like I said, all those links will be in the description below. So make sure to follow him. And that about wraps it up. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. And new episodes of this podcast, Really Old Movies, they are released Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. All right. Well, thanks again, Nathan. And thanks again all for tuning in. This has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. Take care.